Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Nedarim Daf Chof Zayin. Now, I'm going to start today from the Mishnah, found in the middle of Chof Zayin Amud Aleph. Some of you, there's a handful of people that listened to the share right away when I posted it, will be surprised because they'll think that I stopped a little bit earlier at a few lines above the Mishnah, Man Tana Loha D'Tana Rabbanan. So that was really right still in the middle of the Sugya, and it was so close to the Mishnah, I said that was not the best place to stop, so I have it all together in one share. So I added on another 3 or 4 minutes to the end of the shir on Daf Chof Vav. So those can go back and listen. It's at the 32-minute and about 40-second mark where you can pick up the last few minutes of the shir. And most people will not have listened to it right away when I posted it, so don't worry about it. You heard the whole shir yesterday right up to the Mishnah. And we begin at the Mishnah, the middle of Chof Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah begins. Nidre Onsen. This is the fourth and final category of the four types of Nedarim that we had mentioned back at the beginning of the Perek on Daf Chof Omid Beis when we started the third Perek. So we had said that there are four different categories of Nedarim that don't require Hatara. So this is the fourth and final category, Nidre Onsen. These are Nedarim that a person made that he wasn't able to fulfill because of an onus, some circumstance that came up that he was unable to fulfill the Neder. And the Rosh explains that when the person made the neder, he never had in mind that he would be making this neder if there was a circumstance, an accident, some onus that came up that would not allow him to fulfill the neder. So that was never in his intention, never included in such a neder to be effective. So what are examples of this? Now, we already had this on Daf Chav Dalet. So Nidre Onsen, we had brought this Mishnah down earlier. Nidre Onsen are an example of them where Hidiru Chaveiro Sheyochal Eslo. Reuven is pestering Shimon to go and eat by him. Please come and eat by me. Please come and eat by me. And Shimon doesn't want to. So Reuven said, if you don't come and eat by me, you're also to get Hanoah from me. Or something similar to that. This object should be also to you in Hanoah. In any event, Reuven asks Shimon in something. So Shimon was planning on attending. Again, we had discussed this in more detail on Daf Chav Dalet, so we won't go through all of that again now. In any event, Shimon was planning on attending. V'cholahu, but then Shimon got sick, and that's why he wasn't able to come, right? He got COVID, and he was in isolation, and he wasn't able to come. Or, oshecholah b'no, or his son got sick, and Shimon had to go take care of his son, and he wasn't able to attend. These are circumstances that are outside his ability to have controlled and wasn't expected in the original nether that the nether would take effect in such a situation. And therefore, as you can see in the Rosh and Dibra Masko from the Mishnah, Nidre Onsim, so the Rosh says, Dime Kare, at the time that the nether was made, Lo Hoya Bedato Shiichol HaNeder. The person who made the nether, Reuven, never had intention in mind that it should impact Shimon Im Yakvenu Onus. If a onus, if something that was outside his control, an accident, would prevent him from coming. Aye, this is Dvarm Shebelev. This is not specifically stated, and normally we say Dvarm Shebelev, Einam Dvarim. So the Rosh says, Dvarim Shebelev, Ki Hai, such Dvarim Shebelev, Demuchache, the Yedir Lakol, things that are clear, it's obvious, and it is known to everybody, that's not the standard Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim, Elo, Havion Dvarim. Such type of Dvarim Shebelev are in fact considered, and therefore the Nidre Onsen don't take effect. So that would be the situation of Cholahu, he got sick, or his son got sick, or Shechol B'no, or Oshiikvo Nohar, if something unexpected. This is the way the Rosh explains this, and this Rosh can be found in Chav Zayin Omid Beis, that it was something unexpected. We'll talk about this in the Gemara when we get to Chav Zayin Omid Beis, that in a situation where it was expected, there's normal reasons to expect that this type of, not accident, but this type of event could occur. So then, you don't say that it's Zvarim Shebelev, and you didn't expect this Meikara to go and occur. But no, this is something that you should have thought about when you made the nether. It's common, it's shliach, that such an event should occur, such as the river flooding. And therefore, it's only in this situation, the Rosh says, that we're dealing over here with something that was not shliach. Oshiikvo nor, the river flooded because unexpectedly all the snows in the mountain, the Rosh says, the shlogim, the snows in the mountain melted unexpectedly. And that wasn't something that you should have had a havamin about. And therefore, your nether would in this situation not take effect because this was a dover she'eno shchiach. But if it was a dover shchiach, listen, you're waiting for the ferry to come, and the ferry is always late, right? Has a 50% on time. So then don't say, well, I didn't realize the ferry might not come on time, and therefore it's something that I should be considered an onus. No, that's a regular occurring event. And therefore, here we're dealing with Osheikvonar, that the river was unpassable because of some unusual circumstances, something that wasn't Dovish Shliach. And this, everybody would say, nobody ever intended the nether to take effect if there was an onus of this nature. And in all of these situations, the mission includes Harei Elu Nidre Onsin, and they don't require Hatara, they go off by themselves. Fourth and final category. Gemara starts off and tells us a Maisa, how Gavra, once was a man, the Atvis Zachvoso Bevedina. He was not going to be able to stay in town longer. The Mefarish explains over here, Shevi Shtare Zuchuyosov LeBeisdin, and he brought all of his documents to Beisdin to support his side of the claim and the litigation that he's engaging in. By Yitzarech Lachzu LeBeisdin, he said, listen, I got to get home to my house, and therefore I can't stay here any longer, but I'm giving over my documents to you. And as the Rosh adds over here, Mosar Kocho Uzuchuyosov Liyab Beisdin. He hands over basically all of his rights and all of his documents to the Beisdin. Al Minas, and here he makes the Tanai that now we go into Gemara, Vyomer, and he says, E lo osino at losin yomim. If I don't come back within 30-day period of time, Libatlun Hone Zachvosai, all of my documents, all of my powers, all of my koach in this din should be null and void. In other words, I'm giving up the rights to further litigate if I don't come back within 30 days. As the rush continues, Al Menash in Lo Yovo Lizman. Now, the word Beisdin is wrong. If you see Os Chaf Aleph in the Hagos Tzionim, the proper word should be over here, Laploni. If I don't come back in a certain amount of time, Shiu Betalim, all my rights should be batel against Ploni, and I give up all my rights to them. Now, why is he doing this? So the Ran explains, and Dibra Maschel, in Lo Asina, and he says, Hai Gavra, Bikesh mi Beisdin, Shitin Lo Zman. He didn't think that he had enough zuchusim to win the case. So he tells Beisdin, listen, I'm going to go get you more zuchusim, and I'm going to bring you more proof. I have some witnesses, I have some other documents, but I need a little bit of time. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, the Ran says, Ukididnan b'Sanhedrin, adat lamed aleph or aleph, shekol rayos sheyesh l'chol havi, havi mikan v'ad lamed yom. So Beisdin gives him another 30-day extension to go get additional proofs. Beisdin choshu, in this situation, Beisdin is concerned, shema lo amar kein, that this person is not asking for the 30-day extension because that's really what the time he needs to get his rayos. He's just trying to push off the litigation. Elul he shomet mehen. He just wants to get away from this litigation. He says, "Oh yeah, I'll come back." So therefore, va'asrimo. So they made an agreement with him. Sheyatvis shtar zuchuyos. So they would hold on to his zuchuyos, all of his shtars and proofs. Sheyesh lo al chaver that he's claiming to have on his friend, and they would hold it biyodam. The amalem, and he tells Beisdin, "Okay, im lo basim kind of yom ploni. If I don't come." Now, back in time, Zuchuyosai halolu yibotlu, all of these schusim should be null and void. So that's the background to this case. The person hands over all the shtaros to Beisdin, and he makes the tznai and says, if I don't come back within 30 days, they're all null and void. So, doesn't come back. Isnis and onus comes velo osa, and he isn't coming back by the 30-day period of time. That was an accident. He wasn't pulling a shenanigan over here. The river overflowed. He got sick, something. And he wasn't able to come back to the court within the 30-day period of time. So what's the din? Do we say an ones is taken into consideration, and we nullify the tnai, and we don't say that the zchuyos are lost after 30 days? Or do we say, no, tough luck, Charlie. You didn't come back, and therefore your zchusim are all lost. So there's a machlokus between Rav Huna and Rava. So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, Batel zach vase, sorry. He didn't come back within the specified 30-day period of time, and he lost all his zechuyos. End of the discussion. That's what Rav Huna holds. Rava doesn't like this. Amalei Rava. Rava. Now, the gears that we have is Rava. But if you look in the Hagos, it's a unim, Oz Beis. So they bring down to the gears, it should be Rava. And Rava, lo ra, es Rav Huna Meolam. The standard Rava that we have in our Gemaras, the famous Rava and Abaye, so he never saw Rav Huna. As Gemara in Bukhoros, Tosus there points out that they never saw each other. However, he states, L'didi ain't kantos. No, he says, who says that that's that Rava? This could be Rava Bar Nachman. Talmud, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman. This could be the different Rava, not the standard Rava that we normally talk about, but a different Rava. In any event, whoever this Rav Huna was, he says that even though there was an ones, the zechuyos are all lost at the 30-day period of time if he doesn't come back. And Rava doesn't like that, or Rava. And he says, onusu, what are you talking about? The guy is an onus. The onus rachmona patre. And this is a standard rule, like nidre onsen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hold people accountable for things that are outside their control. If it's an onus, you said you're going to do something, but then an onus comes along and doesn't allow you to do this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I understand. Rachmona patre. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, gives you an exemption. And therefore, in this situation, because it was an onus that he didn't come back within 30 days, his zechuyos aren't lost. That's what Rava / Rabba holds. And this is based upon the famous pasuk in Chumash, Dichsiv, Lanara lo sase davar, Rachmona luslan. If a girl is raped, and she had no control over this, the man, Rachmona luslan, was stronger than her, and he raped her, and it was outside the city, and there was nobody to yell to, so then we don't hold her in any way accountable. Lanara lo sase davar. So you see clearly, onus rachmona patre. So why, Rav Huna, are you saying in this situation that we ignore the fact that it was an onus and we take away all his zechusim because he didn't come back within 30 days? Now, Rava says, you're going to tell me, v'chitema, ooh, that's only in a case of a misa, v'chitema, katla shayna, you're going to tell me that the din is different in a case, a capital case, such as Rechmon and Lassan, the Nara that's raped, which is a capital crime. She's an Arusa. She's a woman who is also to every other man. And therefore, in this situation, because it's a capital case, as the Mefarish says, the Gabe Tala Chos Rachmon Allah. Only in this situation where it's a capital crime did the Torah go and give her this dispensation, Ki Anisa, that she was, in fact, in Anusa, she was raped. I will be shar onsen, but who says by mamanos, by other onsen, the lekachi of Toledo, it's not a capital crime. Maybe you have no riot from here that the Torah says in that situation, we also would go and say that we take into account an onus. So Rabba's going to say, or Rabba, he's going to say, that's what you're concerned about? I'll show you that that's not true. Our Mishnah, but not our Mishnah, Nidre Onsen. It's talking about non-capital crimes, as strong and severe it is for a person to be over their neder, to transgress their neder. So it's still not a capital crime. It's a very severe punishment, but it's not a capital crime. And therefore, our Mishnah showed us that Nidre Onsen. So if Hidiru Chaveru Shochal, so Reuven made an edda that unless Reuven Shimon comes to him to eat by him, he's going to be Osir and Hanah from him. So we said in that situation, V'cholahu, O'shecholah b'no, O'sheikvo nohar, Hare Elu Nidri Onsen. Our Mishnah said that we do apply this din of Onis Rachmona Patre even by non-capital cases. So Rav Huna, why in our case, where the guy gave over his shtaros to the Beis Din, do we say that if an onus occurred, that you still are going to be held accountable? The onus should, onus rachmona patre, and his zechuyo should still be intact after the 30-day period of time, because he didn't come back because of an onus. So that's the kasha on Rav Huna. Mar says, not so fast. Ula Rava, maishna mehadat nan. Wait a second, why is Rava saying, across the board, we always allow onus rachmona patre, an onus to take into effect, and that would include this case over here. I'll show you, the Gemara says, that that's not true. We had a Mishnah in Gittin that says otherwise. The Mishnah in Gittin says, if a man says to his wife, the man's going off on a business trip, and he's worried, as the Rosh and other Mefarshim of the Daf say, are worried either that his wife will become an Aguna, or that his wife will unfortunately fall to Yibam, to a less than desirable brother. So the man doesn't want that to happen to his wife. He loves his wife. And he says, Harei ze gitech me'achshav. This get should go into effect from right now. He's off on a dangerous business trip. In those days, all the business trips were dangerous. And doesn't want his wife to fall as either in an aguna or to fall in yibam to a less than desirable brother. And therefore, he says, this should be your get. And it takes effect right now, so it's not a get that is taking effect after his death. And he says, this should be your get from right now if I don't return. Imlo basi, and he gives a time limit to it. Imlo basi, bikan ad shnei masor chodesh. If I don't come back within a year, within 12 months of time. And now he's doing this so to prevent his wife from having complications. And then, not only does he not come back, but umeis besok shnei masor chodesh. He dies during this 12-month period of time. So the Gemara there, the Mishnah there in Gittin says, harei ze get. It is a valid get. It took place from the moment, the day that he left, and he didn't come back after 12-month period of time because he died. What bigger onus is the fact that he died? And yet it says, Harei ze get. Now, why should it be a get? Am I? The reason he didn't come back is because it's an onus, because he's dead. Vah meinas itnis. What bigger onus is there than his death? So therefore, we should say, since it was an onus that he didn't come back, according to you, Rava, the get should not be affected because there was an onus that should nullify the get. And therefore, kash on you, Rava. You see that we don't always say that onus rachmana patre. Gemara says that's ridiculous. Amre, Rava would respond and he would say, Dilma shiny hasam. That case is totally different. Why is that case different? We turn to Chavzayin on the days. That case is totally different because di have yada the miss. This whole purpose over here for doing this, as the Rush says over here in the top Rush, the Iker Nesina Saget, who Hatzila me igun, Oshlo Tizokek Liibun. The whole purpose over here was that there shouldn't be a problem for the wife. And his making this conditional get. He said, listen, I'm going on this business trip. I expect to come back in 3 months. I'll say, if I don't come back in a year, you don't fall to Yibum. You won't fall to my brother, who's less than desirable. Or they'll never find my body. They won't know what happened to me. And you'll be an Aguna. I don't want that to happen to you. So he says, if I don't come back within 12 months, because I died or because a tragedy happened, so then I want the get to take effect retroactively. If, in fact, he knew he died, he have a yard of the miss. If he knew for a fact he was going to die in that 12-month period of time, min la'alta have a gomar, the yard get to. He wouldn't have done a conditional get. He would have given him the get right now. The whole purpose was he didn't want his wife to be an aguna or to fall to Yibum. So therefore, this isn't a conditional get that is should be nullified because the condition wasn't fulfilled because of an onus. That's exactly why he was giving the get, in case such an onus happened. And therefore, that case is totally different. And you can't bring me any raya from that case to Rav Huna, that not in all situations do we say onus rachmona patri. Gemara is still not happy with Rav and says, Maishno mehau. What about the following scenario? That seems to go against Rav that we always say onus rachmona patri. What happened over here? In this case, the Amalu, a man said to his wife, "I lo asina mikan at losin yomin lehevigita." Again, a similar situation. He doesn't want his wife to, whatever the reason, fall to Yibum or be an aguna. He's off on a 30-day business trip, and he says, "If I don't come back within 30 days, so then the get should be chal from right now. Lehevigita, it should be retroactively a get." Fine. Also, he comes back, he, Baruch Hashem, he survived his business trip and he comes back, but he's delayed and he comes back on the last day. Also, and then, Upaske Mabra, and then he's trying to get across the river, but there's no boat to take him. Upaske Mabra, Rashi says in the Gemara elsewhere, and Rashi writes, Hanor Hivsiko, the river prevented him from coming, Shoysa Hamavoros Mitzad Ha'ir, the ferry boats that would take you from one side of the city to the other side of the city weren't there. And he wasn't able to get across. So he was delayed because the boat that would normally carry him across the river is stuck upstream. And therefore, he can't get across. Now, Amalahu, he yells from across the river, "Hey, Chazul di Asoy, hey, look everybody, I came back, my wife's not divorced, Chazul di Asoy, I came back, my wife's not divorced." And what did the din paskin? Tamashul, sorry, buddy, lo shmei masya, you're across the river. That's not fulfilling your nadir. It said, you will come back by 30 days. You're nearby, but you didn't come back. And therefore, your get is chal. And therefore, your wife is divorced. Now, am I? How come? Vaha meinas anis. Here, it was an onus. The boat wasn't there. So how come we don't say, according to you, Rava, onus rachmona patri, and we view him as his nether is not chal, and the get shouldn't be a good get? So therefore, you see, Rava, that we don't always apply onus rachmona patre, kash on you, Rava, Rafuna's right. Someone said, no. This is what I explained when we said the Mishnah. Duma unso de megalia shine. An onus that was likely to occur is totally different, as you see in the Rosh here as well. The ikvo nohar de masnisin. In our Mishnah, that was an unusual thing. Hainu shagod al hanor mehav sharas shlogim, from the melting of the snow. That's a very unusual occurrence. The Efshel Avrobo, in that situation, delo shchiach. This is a critical factor, which I pointed out in the Mishnah, and here's where I got it from. The reason why in the Mishnah we said that that is considered an ones is because that was totally unexpected, that the snows should suddenly melt and make this river uncrossable at this point in time. That was totally unexpected, and it's not a davar shliach, and the person, therefore, this is a true onus. However, in this situation, Umava Mikla Yonsei, that the boat doesn't come. Yeah, the boats are always late. The boat's always going to be in one place and not the other place. You can't say, I expect the boat to be there, right, when I arrive. You should have arrived a day early. You should have arrived in the morning instead of coming in the afternoon. Hey, the boat's not here. So that's not a davar shalosh shchiach. That's a davar shchiach. That's a regular recurring event. And you don't say in that situation, onus rachmona patri. So this rabbi would say, has nothing to do with our case. These two examples that we brought with the gittin, they have nothing to do with our din that Rava says we always apply onus rachmona prate, not only by a capital case like Hanara, Lonasa, Davar, but also even in financial cases like our Mishnah of Nidre Onsen, and therefore in the case where the guy gave his documents to the Beis Din and he's by accident unable to come back within 30 days, we do in fact say onus rachmona prate, and Rava says, Rav Huna, you're wrong, this is the way we should paskin. Nu, what did Rav Huna say to this? Well, Rav Huna, why doesn't Rav Huna hold like Rava? After all, Rava's arguments seem to be airtight. So therefore, Rav Huna would say, Michte, let's take a look at this. This is a case of asmachta. What is asmachta? So Rashi, elsewhere in the Gemara in the Sanhedrin, explains this very clearly. He says, an asmachta is when you're relying upon something, such as haftachas guzma. This is an exaggerated claim. Oh, I'll give you $1 million if I'm not right. You're not really planning on giving the guy $1 million. So you're not really saying something that you really mean. Sha'odim maftiach eschaveiro. You're doing this just to urge your friend to believe you, l'smocha lov, that he should rely upon what you're saying by making this exaggerated claim. Shemlo yikayim tino, for example, you say to a friend, listen, lend me $10 now, and if I don't pay you back by Monday, so yiten kach v'kach, leave you $100. So that's not an appropriate statement. He'll really mean that. You're just doing this to spur your friend to go and do something for you, and therefore this is called an asmachta. You never really intended it. This is why, for example, they taught by gambling. So in gambling, if a person is expecting to win, he's not really expecting to lose. So then when he puts in his money into the whatever the gambling thing is, he doesn't really give it in willingly because he's expecting to win. He's not expecting to lose. And that money that he's putting in, therefore, is an asmachta. He's just putting it in, but not intending it to be really part of the deal. And Rashi continues elsewhere for the Gemara in Sanhedrin. This the Gemara that I just quoted is from Bava Metzia. He continues from Rashi in Sanhedrin. Hainu davar she'enu nosein lo midaito. You're giving something to your friend not with full intention. Ela somech al davar she'enu. He's giving something over here that he doesn't expect to occur. The sover, he's saying, shuyachol l'natzeach. Oh, I'm going to win. So therefore, I'm going to bet you that I can run faster than you. And here's $1 million that can prove that I can run faster than you. He's not really planning to put up that $1 million. He's just showing his friend, look how confident I am, look how certain I am that I'm going to win. So you should bet on me also. So in this situation, and sometimes he's going to lose the race. So he urges his friend, listen, go bet on me. I'm going to win this race. I bet $1 million. I'm betting $1 million. I'm definitely going to win the race. So he's doing this to urge his friend to do so. Not that he's really willing to put up $1 million. So this is what's called an asmachta. Now, does this work in din or does this not work in din if a person makes such a statement? So Rav Huna says, let's take a look at the din of asmachta. Michdei asmachtohi. And we paskin the asmachta lo kanya. We paskin over here that an asmachta is not considered something that is going to be a din. And therefore, this is even a bigger kasha on Rav Huna, because we paskin the asmachta lo kanya. So then in this situation, so when he gives over the documents to the Beis Din, so that's an asmachta. He said, oh, if I don't come back in 30 days, all my documents are null and void. He's just doing that to show them that I really intend to come back in 30 days. But he doesn't really mean that this document should be null and void if he's not able to come back. So this is even a stronger kasha on Rav Huna. Now, Tosos, in the top Tosos of the Rav Huna, he says, we could have answered, having Musa Lameimar, that Rav Huna holds, the Sri Lele Rav Huna, the asmachta kanya. So we could have said that that's how he holds. And therefore, even though it's an asmachta, he said, if I don't come back in 30 days, all my stuff is null and void, even though it's an asmachta, so it's null and void. But we don't want to give that answer, Tosu says, because we don't paskin like that. Elanichale liyashi Rav Huna, the Gemara would prefer to resolve the dilemma on Rav Huna, aliba de hilchasa, which is that we paskin asmachta lo kanya, because we paskin elsewhere, the Rav Nachman pasik besomuch ki Rav Yehuda, because Rav Nachman holds, like Rav Yehuda, that asmachta lo kanya. In any event, this is strengthening the kasha against Rav Huna. So How come, Rav Huna, you say that when the man doesn't come back in 30 days, the Beis Din has the right to take away all his zechuyos, or all his documents, and all his koyach to win the case, because he didn't come back? That's an asmachta, and asmachta lo kanya. So Rav Huna would answer, shiny hacha, that case is different. Why? Because the mitvis son zechuyos, he handed over those documents to the Beis Din. What does that mean? If you hand over your documents, and Tosus explains the Dibra Maskel, the Hamatis Zachvase, he says, Vakivan, the Hitfison, since he handed over his documents to the Beis Din, so then, Kfar Gomar, that's Din, that's not Asmachta, I'm giving them over, Ubitel, and therefore they become null and void at the end of the 30-day period of time. It wasn't Asmachta, it wasn't something that he's trying to spur them. He says, here they are, I'm giving them to you. They're null and void if I don't come back by 30 days. So therefore, that's not a case of asmachta kanya, because the mitfason zuchus, and he actually handed them over. So you can't say it's an asmachta. He's just making a grandiose type of a statement to spur them to believe him. No, he handed over something, and therefore, that is not going to be a case of asmachta. That is a case of the mitfason zuchus. More questions. This says, really? V'hechod the mitfason lav asmachti? What, every time you give over, that's considered not an asmachta? I'll show you that that's not true. We learned in a Mishnah in Bava Basra, it tells us there, but nan, misha para mixas chovo. If a man paid back part of his debt, right? Reuven owes Shimon $100, and he pays him back $50. Now, the original document says that Reuven owes Shimon $100, so Reuven doesn't want that document to still exist in Shimon's pocket because he paid back $50. What's to stop Shimon from presenting that document saying, hey, you owe me $100. Here it says a good document. There are witnesses and everything. And you can easily authorize the document and prove that the document's a real document because Reuven really lent Shimon the money. But Shimon was paid back $50. So what do you do? Reuven doesn't want that document to exist, but Shimon says, hey, I'm not ripping up that document because you still owe me $50. So what do you do in that situation? So Misha Para makes a schovel. When Reuven paid back half of his debt, so what they do with the document is vihishlish eshtoro. They go and give the document to a trusted third party who they know will not go and give the document back if Shimon claims the full 100, but won't discount the document if Reuven says, I paid the entire debt. So they give it to a trusted third party. Vihishlish eshtoro. As the Ran says, the Ran is found still on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. They give it to shenosnu biyachlish. They give it to a trusted third party. And what happens then? The Hishlish Eshtaro for Omar. And Reuven then says to Shimon, I'll show you that I'm going to pay up the full debt that I owe you, the other $50 for Omar. If I don't come back and give you the rest of the money by the end of 30-day period of time, he tells the Shlish, Tain lo shtaro. You, Shlish, third party, you have the right to go and give back to Shimon the document, and then he theoretically could go collect the whole document. Now, what happens? He doesn't come back in 30 days and pay him. He gives man. Reuven, for whatever reason, didn't pay Shimon by the end of the 30-day period of time, or whatever period of time he would say. Below Nasan. So now, what happens? Is the Shlish supposed to go and give the document back or not? So Rav Yossi says, yeah, you go give it back, because that's exactly what he said. You follow what the person said. But Rav Yehuda says, no. Rav Yehuda Omer, lo yitain. Rav Yehuda says, we don't give the document back. And how do we paskin? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, Omar Rav, Ein Halachik Rav Yossi. We don't pass like Rav Yossi that you give it back because the Omar Asmachta Kanya, because Rav Yossi holds that Asmachta is Kanya. But we don't follow that opinion. We follow the opinion of Rav Yehuda, who says that Asmachta lo Kanya, as we just pointed out from the Gemara's elsewhere. So therefore, in this situation, even though it was given over to the third party, yet we paskin over there, Rav Nachman said the name of Rabba Bar Avuah, said the name of Rav, that we apply the din of Asmachta lo Kanya, even though the document was handed over to the third party. And therefore, in our case as well, Kasha and Rav Huna, even though all the documents were handed over to the Beis Din, and he said, if I don't come back in 30 days, there should be null and void, that's still Asmachta lo Kanya. Even in that situation where it was given over, we still apply the rule that Asmachta lo Kanya. And therefore, how come Rav Huna, in that case, we say, according to you, that the documents are null and void? They shouldn't be. That should be a case of Asmachta lo Kanya, even though they were handed over, just like in this case, even though the document was handed over to the third party, even though in your case the documents handed over to the Beis Din, it's still an Asmachta, and Asmachta lo Kanya, and the document should not be given to the from the third party back to Shimon in our case now, and likewise in Rav Huna's case, where he said that the Beis Din should, in fact, rip up those documents, say they're null and void. That's incorrect. Rav Huna, you're wrong. So how does Rav Huna respond to that? So Rav Huna says, no, again, shayne hocha. The cases are different. They sound like they're the same, but they're different. Because in the case of handing over the documents to the Beis Din, the person said, the Omar, libatlon zachvase. He said that everything that I have over here should be null and void. He didn't say, now you can go do and give it to somebody else. He said, no, they're null and void. I'm giving them to you, and they're null and void. In the case of the Shlish, he's not saying to the Shlish, it's null and void. He says, you can go give it back to Shimon in that situation. Therefore, the two cases aren't identical. And the case of the document given over to the third party, so that's a case of asmachta lo kanya. But in the case of giving it over to the Beis Din, it's different. There, it's not a case of asmachta lo kanya because the matvisan zachvasi, because he actually handed over the entire zuchus. There's nothing else that needs to be done. It's null and void. And therefore, that's different than giving it over to the Shlish, who then will give it over back to Shimon. As the Rosh explains, the difference is, in the case of the Beis Din, midelo amar tenu osa l'chshaneh. He didn't say, give over my documents to my litigant, but he said, elo hiskir loshon bitul. He specifically said, it's null and void. Ki'ilu hoda shehein psulin ubetelin kecheres anishbar. In that situation with the Beis Din, it's different. It's as if he actually said, these documents are not valid. These documents should be destroyed. That's different then saying, okay, to the Shlish, give it back to Shimon. Alternatively, the Rosh says, Inami, Zeh ba lahotzi mamun b'shtarosav. He's coming to go and extract money with that shtar. The hisna, and he makes the statement, shu b'talim, that they are not valid. In lo yavav, he doesn't go back within a 30-day period of time. Lo yagavav b'hem, oh, and they can't be used to be collected with anymore. Ba'smachta kihai, in a smachta like this, shu mochel lamash yesh lo biyad acher, in that situation we're saying, they're mochel, I'm giving up on them, that's not an asmachta that's low kanya. Everybody would agree in that situation, kanya, it takes effect. However, aval asmachta, Rabbi Yehuda, the standard way that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that asmachta lo kanya, in that situation, hu lahotzi, that's to give him to go and collect with that document, there, lo kanya. We say asmachta lo kanya. So that's how Rav Huna would answer the difference between the two cases. How do we paskin? Mor says the hilchasa asmachta kanya. Mor says that we paskin over here that asmachta is kanya. Now the Ran seems to suggest that we're dealing over here just in our case with the Beis Din that we're saying asmachta is kanya only in our case, but lav dafka in all other cases. Others disagree, but anyway, we'll learn it simple like the Ran. The hilchasa asmachta kanya in our case with the Beis Din asmachta is kanya. Except, however, if there was an onus. If there was an onus, if something that was unpreventable stopped it from coming back, so then we would say that the onus removes the din of giving it over and being mochel. And furthermore, and it has to have been a full acquisition of the document. So that's why it's, in this situation, asmachta kanya, because it was given over to a full Beis Din, and based in Choshev. The Mefarish explains, what does it mean, based in Choshev? Shehei mumcha l'rabim, they're acknowledged to the public that this is a real Beis Din. And the Mefarish is, you need all three of these over here. You need all three of them over here. The I have a chad below idach. If you only had one of these three without the others, lo kanya. Then it would not be a smachta kanya, it would be a smachta lo kanya. Ela kulu gimu ba'inan, you need all three over here. And the lo onis, that he's not an onis, the kinyan, the Beis Din Choshev, and it has to be a kinyan, the Beis Din Choshev, and he handed it over to the Beis Din. So you need all three of these criteria in order for us to say that asmachta is kanya. And the Ran, in the very end of the Dibro Masl, the Nimtza, so he brings down the kivan, the Beis Din Choshev, since this is such an important Beis Din, my de omar levatla, when he says to them, it should be null and void at 30 days if I don't come back, kehodo gemura mashvinale, it's as if he admits that they're not valid. Again, the Ran discusses, is this just a specific din over here by our case, or is this a general din? In this longer Ran for details. Okay, that concludes this sugya. It's still relatively early, so we'll go a little bit weiter. We'll just do the next Mishnah, and that will set us up for the Gemara in tomorrow's Shia. So the next Mishnah says, Nodrin, a person is permitted to go make an eder leharogim for people that are going to come to murder him because he has something that they want, and they're just going to come and kill him and take it. So he's allowed to say to them, for example, that it's truma, as we'll see in a second. So a person is allowed to make an eder, which he doesn't really mean, it's not true, two people that are coming to murder him for something, or lecharmim. What are charmim? So the Mefarish explains, shulist in bialma. These are armed robbers. Shein hori. They're not going to kill you, but they're going to terrorize you. They're going to beat you up. So you're allowed to make the nether to them, even if you know they're not going to kill you. It doesn't have to be life-threatening. It just could be dangerous. Ulamosin, or to, as we'll see in the Gemara, inappropriate tax collectors. In those days, the king would say, I'm charging this area over here X amount of dollars in taxes. Now, he has to go collect it. So the system they would have is somebody would pay the king that amount of money and then go collect the taxes. Now, he wouldn't collect exactly the same amount of taxes that he paid the king. Otherwise, who would do that? So, for argument's sake, the king says, I want $1 million from this region. So the guy goes and pays him $1 million, and then he goes and collects $1.5 million from the region. So that's appropriate tax collection. But if the guy who paid the king $1 million goes and collects $10 million from that region, so that's inappropriate tax collection. And in that situation, you are allowed to go and not pay. You're allowed to go and try to avoid paying this inappropriate tax collection. Or a guy just goes and collects taxes, doesn't have any right to. So in all these situations, the Mishnah tells us, you're allowed to make the following neder to a person who's coming to kill you, or to beat you up, or to put you in a dangerous situation, or to people that are inappropriately collecting money for taxes, and say, oh, you want to take all my crops over here? Sorry, buddy, she truma. Again, this is very interesting. The people are murderers here. The people are horrible armed robbers or inappropriate tax collectors, so they're not obviously concerned about stealing. Bah, truma. Nobody would eat truma. So we can see this dichotomy throughout life. We see this all the time. People will be erlich in one way and unfortunately not erlich in another way. They split. They have this dichotomy. And they say that, oh, here, this is Torah, oh, but that's business. That's I don't have to follow the principles of the Torah in that scenario. So you see this in the Beis HaMikdash. We had Kohanim that would go and kill in the Beis HaMikdash to have the right to go and do the Avodah, but quick, remove the body before it becomes Tomei, and we all become Tomei. So in regards to the Tumah Tara, they were all great tzaddikim. When it came to murder, they weren't. In any event, that's what happened over here. These people would come and either murder or beat up or inappropriately steal. So you're allowed to say to them, oh, you want to take all these crops? Well, I'm really sorry. It's truma. Oh, we don't believe you. It's a neder that this is truma. This should be truma. I'm not a Kohen. So I'm telling you, if this isn't truma, it should be offered to me like a carbon. So therefore, the person is now making this truma. He makes a neder. And it's offered to him. That's what it should be. So the din is afa pi she'eino truma, even though it's not truma, and therefore the neder should take effect. She'ein. Or he says, Shein shel beis ha-melech. He doesn't say that they're truma. He says they belong to the king. Oh, nobody's going to start up with the king's money. So therefore, he makes an edit that it's not his. It belongs to the king. And therefore, they'll leave him alone. He says that it's truma. And they won't take it. They'll leave him alone because they won't eat truma. So in these situations, even though he made an edit there, afa pi she'eino shel beis ha-melech, even though it's not truma and it's not belonging to the beis ha-melech, the nether isn't chal. So you're allowed to go and make this nether. Now, how much so are you allowed to make this nether? So Beishami Omrim Bakol Nodrim. You're allowed to make any type of a nether to save yourself in this situation. And we turn to Chav Chesav and Aleph. That applies to Nedarim. However, Chutz mi Bishvua, but you're not going to make a Shvua. Shvua, as we pointed out earlier in the Masechta, Lo Yinakeh, and the Seres HaDibros says a Shvua, that you're never going to get Kapara for. If you make a false Shvua, Lo Yinakeh. So therefore, in this situation, you can make a nether to get these murderers and haramim and inappropriate tax collectors off your back, but you can't make a shvua. Beisel says, no, why not? Af shvua. Beisel omrim, af bishvua. You can even make a shvua. Furthermore, Beishamay omrim, lo yiftach lo b'neder. You can't volunteer a neder. It's only if they say to you, hey, we don't believe that this is truma. Make a neder that this is truma. So then, Beishamay says, you're allowed to go make a neder that it's truma. Beisel says, no, even you can jump in and volunteer. Oh, I want to show you that this is truma. You don't. I can see in your eyes, you don't believe me. No. Beisel omrim, af yiftaklo. He can say, a neder, it should be also to be like a carbon if this isn't truma. So he's allowed to even volunteer making the nether, not only that they ask him to make the nether. Another machlok is b'shami b'shilo. B'shami yomrim b'ma shehu madiro. You're only allowed to go and make that nether that the harogin or the haramim or the molson ask you to go and make. You can't go and do anything else. We'll see in a moment what this means. Even if they didn't ask for it, you're allowed to go and say that. It's really consistent with what we just said. He said, Bishamay says, lo yiftach lo b'neder, you can't voluntarily say something. And Bishamay says, no, you can even jump in and say, even without them asking you to. So what's the example over here And the Shammai says you can only say what they said, and he still says you can even add on to it. So Ketzad, what's the example of that? So Amalo, if this Haragin or Haramim or Mosin say to you, you're saying that this is Truma, and we don't believe you, Amalo, they say to this guy, Emar, you should say, Konim Ishti Nenesli, I make my wife Osir to me if this isn't Truma, if this doesn't belong to the king. So that's all they're asking him to say. And what does the guy say? The guy says, I want you to believe me. Not only is my wife going to be awesome if this isn't Truma, but my children will also be awesome to me. Now, that was added on his own. So the Shammai says, the Shammai Yomim, Ish Domuteris. Okay, the part about his wife, that we all agree, doesn't take effect. That's what we call over here these Nedarim that weren't made with really the intention that they should be kept because you're under duress. But you didn't have to throw in about your kids, and therefore when you say that your children should be awesome to you, if this isn't Truma, Ubana Vasurim, your children are in fact awesome to you. And here's what Basila says, nothing doing. Basila Omrim, no. Both the wife and the children, Elu Va'elu Mutarim, because this is under this classification of these Nidarim that aren't really intended. When you made them at the beginning, it was just to ward off these people from killing you or beating you up or taking your money inappropriately, and they're not really a nether. Okay, that's the Mishnah. We'll stop over here. This will conclude today's shiur. Have a great day.